You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Live.
It is alive.
We are live from Motor City Comic Con 2017. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to An Elegant Weapon, episode 242. My name is Jay, J.M. Clark, Jay the Jedi Ross.
Remember last year at Comic-Con?
I do.
You did episode 200 right here. 200.
Which, if you actually then do the math, yes, I skipped about 12 weeks of podcasting.
I wasn't going to call you out on it. I was just pointing it out.
But I have, you know, I support other things, too. So I'm a busy fellow. But, yeah, kids, here we are. We have returned, coming to you live from the Podcast Detroit booth at Motor City Comic-Con. I've brought together the usual gaggle of idiots to my right of the Ninja Starship podcast, Jimmy McKnight.
Hello, hello, hello.
Top Rope Review, Joshua Royal Schramm.
Hello, thank you for the middle name drop there.
Yeah, absolutely. Over here. I like to be able to look at this.
I know. I am the podcasting Stay Puft today.
Good God. Also of the Ninja Starship. With Jimmy McKnight, Mr. Wookiee Will Blattman.
I'm also of the Top Rope Review and
yes,
Legion
of course
the Podcast.
You are.
He's a podcast slut.
Your stuff. Yeah. You are a bit of a pod whore. And of course, joining us, the reason we're here, Bob and Dave of IT and the D. The brains.
Wait, someone bring them beer.
The podcast.
It doesn't
Detroit.
Work here. I've noticed. It doesn't.
Tab,
no one
it
should.
No one's brought a beer. Tab, Jay, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Thanks
everybody
for having
us on. Hey, absolutely. I'm honored to be able to be doing this again, guys. Thanks for providing this opportunity.
Of course.
For us to come live to the world. It's been an absolutely crazy weekend. I'm sorry, kids, if I sound a little bit hoarse. Some of my words might even sound mumbly. My tongue is swollen to the size of like a bullfrog. Just cigarettes and booze and pot.
So your wife's had a good weekend, is what
She's
you're saying.
She's had a fantastic weekend. Around here somewhere over there. Just sitting oblivious to the world. Hey, baby. How you doing? Guys, thanks so much. You allowed me to sit in with IT and the D, and we talked some serious Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good times, man. I haven't gone that deep in a while. It was, it's nice to sit down with guys who are fans, you know what I mean? Like, you guys know your shit. You guys have read the books.
Absolutely.
And, you know, gotten a little involved in the EU, so.
It's religion at this point.
It is. It is. We're just preaching the gospel, you know, studying our texts. And such, you know what I mean?
Basic premise of religion. Yeah.
It's almost like sports fandom. We're like, no, I like Star Wars more than you. I'm a bigger Yankees fan. You know, and it's gotten almost to the ridiculous point where...
We argue over things that we're making up. We're arguing over make-believe.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And,
well, the big thing was yesterday is all the ridiculous fan theories we're arguing about. Somebody can stop the conversation so dead as to say... Remember the end of Rogue One when he's making all the blasters fly out of their hands with the Force, Darth Vader? Why didn't he just make the data fly out of their hands into
his
as well?
Because...
Kills everything.
Because then no more movies.
Yes.
Then I believe that actually then goes back in time and eliminates episodes 4, 5, and 6 from ever happening. Then, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a shame.
So now they're going to have to do another movie. They'll do Rogue 2.
No, it's the same as a Superman Batman.
No. They'll do Rogue 2 to explain why he didn't do
ghosts,
that.
And they'll just work.
No, it's like Batman Superman. Why didn't Darth Vader just take like whoever he wanted to kill and just force them into space and then they can't breathe and then they'll die?
Yeah.
Right? Like, why didn't he have to fight them with swords and
couldn't
stuff?
Couldn't he just technically stop anyone's heart and be like,
right,
okay, your heart's not going to beat anymore. There you go.
It wouldn't have been the epic moment, though. There wouldn't have been the epic moment or the epic memes that have now followed.
I don't know that I really want to hear.
The only scene that was worth a damn in the entire movie. Yeah. I'm just saying.
No, he was
a cat playing with a mouse. That's all it was. He just wanted to play with them.
Anup-shiba.
He was just kind of stretching his muscles a little bit, you know.
No, it's a good point. Yeah. Eyeballs pop out. Boink! You can't see me now.
Nice.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah, there's so many ways around it. I've got to address the staple.
Oh, wise guy. Book.
Will,
yes,
you are the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
Curly, yes.
Yes. What is the deal? Where did this come from? What happened? You made this
Josh,
yourself?
Josh reminded me last night jerkily at the bar that I had a Stay Puft costume at home in my closet that wasn't wearing.
Hey, Will, but no offense, you're totally half-assing it. You have, like, Old Navy cargo shorts yep. on and some cons.
Hey, these are Reebok golf shorts, okay? Right. The most comfortable shorts you will ever wear. But, yeah, no, I am...
You look adorable.
My buddy does a cover band.
Okay.
And MX13. And they were doing a show for Halloween. It was like a benefit show because he's part of the Defiance County Ghostbusters.
Right.
And so they were raising money for cancer relief. And he was just like, I told him I wanted to be a hype man for like one of their shows sometime.
He can't sit still for more than 10 minutes.
He's like 15 minutes in the booth, an hour and a half out of the booth. Like, all day.
No, Dave, go do it. You got to
Back and forth all day.
But you made the hat.
So my friend Katie P made the hat and made the thing for me.
It's very nice.
So it was just a random thing I had. I said, what the hell? Why not wear it today?
Right. It's a beautiful thing. What is the state of the unions, fella? Jimmy, how's the Starship going?
Starship's going fantastic.
Yeah. I caught you a little off guard.
Totally. I was waiting for gum.
What's the plan this year? You know, as the summer moves on, you got any specific goals? Just keep rolling along and talking shit?
Rolling along and talking shit. We are approaching our 100th episode.
That's exciting.
Which is very exciting.
Special plans?
Yes. Yeah. They will be announced next week.
Ooh, it's a surprise.
The surprise is
surprise.
Special guest. Ooh, a very special guest.
That's exciting.
Yes.
I had a... my 100th, Mike Zabcic came back for the 100th. So yeah, you got to do something special.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, we got David J. Fielding coming on next week.
Ooh.
Zordon Returns.
Yes.
So it's going to be
That's number two.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
I guess he had a good time last night.
Oh, loved it. Yeah.
What's wrong with him?
I don't know, man. I know, right? That's what I said. I'm like, this guy actually wants to come back.
Yeah,
like,
oh my God.
Something's definitely wrong.
You got your payolas spread right.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
But no, man, we're doing well. We're taking the summer off from the conventions. We're probably going to hit Rhode Island in November.
Nice.
And we have Monroe Comic-Con.
Monroe, that's going to be big.
In September. Yeah, that's our big goal right now is Monroe.
Nice.
It's just a one-day just extravaganza of awesome.
That's
and
awesome.
Because it's one day, like, you go big.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You're out of time otherwise.
And kind of like Philly, where we kind of help moderate panels, man. The Ninja Starship moderates most of the panels.
Oh, yeah. Which
yep.
is hardcore. That's
yep.
awesome. Hey, the more we can spread that out.
Yeah, Jimmy's running around like a madman at Monroe Comic Con.
Are you going? Are you taking top rope?
Oh, yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah. Right
it's
on.
That's an easy one to do. It's, you know, it's one day and it's not far, so...
Totally. We got Brutus the Barber Beefcake's going to be there.
That's spectacular.
That's totally up your alley.
Yeah. What about you guys? Is IT set up there? Or PD?
Yeah, well, the PD podcast.
Are you
going to
have
there?
A booth like this going up?
Not as extravagant.
Yeah, I guess it's a one-day show.
Just
this is a bit much.
Backdropping a table
day.
And microphones.
Right,
you know,
right,
nothing
right,
crazy.
Right. That's exciting. So, new studio recently.
Yeah.
Did you just get too big for the britches of the old one?
Well, we filled it. So, you know...
Are both still running? Do you have, like, both buildings?
No.
Okay.
We moved. So we had the one room, and it got to be difficult because it was one giant room. So, you know, everyone that was waiting in the green room for shows that ran back-to-back, you know, the shush monster had to come out. I don't like being shushed.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we found a perfect building. It used to be, like, a financial services company. It had four perfect-size offices and a bathroom and a little waiting room out front. And literally, we just moved right in. We didn't have to do any build-out, nothing.
Nice.
We had three studios right off the bat.
Yeah.
We're building out the fourth with video capability.
Oh, that'll be fun. And this is more like in Detroit, isn't it?
It's a couple miles north.
Okay, cool.
That one's in Royal Oak. And then you might be talking about the business studio that we opened up down in the Penobscot building downtown.
Yes, this is what I heard about.
Yeah.
So what's the deal with that?
Well, no, so I mean, we had IT and the D's, I mean, businesses, and we had a couple of companies that reached out and were like, guys... We'd love to use your studios to record our internal stuff, but we're not sending our people to Royal Oak for 3 hours in the middle of the day. All right, so friend of a friend had a spot. We built out a studio there, and that's where we send those folks.
Right. Potential for maybe, like, voiceover, like, cartoon-wise?
Oh, absolutely.
Stuff like that?
Everything.
Yeah, I mean. Actually, we just had somebody reach out that's starting to do that in Studio 2 in the Royal Oak studio,
right.
Which is one of our smaller studios, because that room is damn near dead.
Right.
I mean, it's just dead quiet when you walk in there, so, yeah.
That's nice. That's nice to have, guys.
Yeah.
Look at all this going crazy. Growing and getting big. And,
I know, it's crazy,
you know,
isn't it?
And Leon's getting larger.
It's crazy in here. This show keeps getting bigger and bigger every year. Has anybody done Photoshop or Photoshop?
Photo ops?
It's day three, kids, by the way. Okay, it's what time is it? It's 1:13 on day three, and it's been a hell of an adventure. So excuse my brain if it sounds a little marbly. But yeah, we get some photo ops. Anything happen?
Yeah. We did, Tab and I did Sting in full makeup yesterday.
Nice.
Which was cool.
And how was he?
He was good. You know, the 6 seconds you get, he was nice. We threw up the two suites, so that was cool.
No, Sting was weird.
Sting was weird to you, but he was nice to me.
Yeah. That was the weirdest conversation I've ever had in my life, and it was by Sting.
That's weird.
What happened?
So I get up in line, and I got a black baseball bat.
Yeah.
And I got him to sign it, and he looks at me, and he says, "Oh, saw you in the parking lot earlier."
Because of your jacket?
Yeah. My PBR, my Pabst jacket. And then Will and my friend Mark are behind me. And then after he says he saw me in the parking lot, he signs my bat. And then he looks up at me in the face and goes, "But you weren't with those two guys." And that was it.
Weird.
We were... I think he thought we were just like your security, making sure no one stole your Sting baseball bat.
I like, it's one of those things. It's kind of like when I met Shannon Elizabeth or Kelly LeBrock, and I'm like, boop, 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 boop.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say after that. Like, thank you, sir.
Celebrities can be weird.
I had a very awkward encounter yesterday with Martin Starr. Like, it was towards the end of the con yesterday, and he was by himself in his booth. I was like, sweet, I'm going to go talk to him real fast. I'm a huge fan of his. So, like, I kind of walk up through the windy thing. I knocked one over. I just kind of looked at him. I'm like, yeah, that wasn't me. And I kind of just walked up to him, shook his hand. Like, I just wanted to meet you, man. I'm a big fan. Like,
Right.
Hope you're having a good con. Like, nice. You know, like, I'm not buying anything because I'm cheap ass, but, you know, like.
I thought you'd like to meet me.
Yeah, I'm just like, and we talked a couple minutes about Podcast Detroit, you know, he's interested in the cosplay girls.
Right.
You know, so.
How was Rooker?
Oh, Rooker was awesome. Yeah, we met him this morning.
Yeah,
such a super
autograph
cool guy.
For anything?
Got a picture with
him. I wanted to go up to him and say,
How much is he charging?
$40.
That's not bad at all.
Not bad at all, dude.
Damn.
Did you tell him you really loved the scene in Mallrats when he showed his butt?
No, I said my favorite movie with him is Cliffhanger.
What do you say to that?
Oh, he loved it. Yeah.
We call it Clitbanger.
That movie, honestly, like I was talking about it this morning, it is one of the most underrated comedies you'll ever see in your life because it's meant to be a serious drama, but it is a comedy, 100%.
Right.
And Deadpool doesn't agree.
No?
No. He's just sitting there shaking his head.
You thought Cliffhanger was some serious stuff, yeah?
Right on. Thanks, Deadpool.
Motor City got lucky, though, man. They booked, you know, because they got booked guests in advance.
Yeah.
And there's no way they knew that the weekend before, the 2 weeks before when Guardians came out, he was going to be the hottest item in Guardians.
Yeah, he was.
And how about the Mary Poppins Yondus? I've seen two.
Yes. One of my friends, former
cosplay?
Guest of our show cosplay, is him on Friday.
Yeah. Oh, really?
There was two girls who were Mary Poppins. But Yondu.
Yeah, you know I have a buddy saying? Who did that yesterday on Friday.
A guy did it?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I'll show you photos.
That's
later.
Pretty good. That's fantastic. People are popping on in here. It's very, very exciting. It's crowded as hell in here, I'm telling you. The show is just blowing up, kids, and it's good times to be back. Jimmy, help me out, man.
I got you, man.
Help me out, man. This is like my ninth or tenth hour of podcast.
No, it's all good. The thing about this con,
man, make pod.
And the thing that I really like about it, I was actually explaining it to the Lyft driver, because he's like, well, what do you do there? What's the whole point of going?
What do we do
And it's
do
like,
here?
Well, you know, you can go here for the comics, okay, but then you have the media side, which to me and to a lot of other people, like, is really what this is all about, because I come here to meet these media people because I'm a fan of what they do, and after I meet them, I now have a much more personal connection with the work of theirs that I love, because I met them.
I just hope that they're not an Andrew McCarthy.
Exactly. Oh, right? 100%.
That was my thing today. This weekend was praying to God Anthony Michael Hall was cool.
Right. Yeah, and that's the other thing, man, because you can have that interaction where now you're not a fan of that stuff because the guy's a dick.
Yeah, it was
it can go the other way.
It was like Ric Flair last year. He was a dick, but it's Ric Flair, so I don't care.
I didn't
mean to rhyme there.
Right.
Yes, you did.
Where's the bell?
But Anthony Michael Hall, totally cool, dude. Kelly LeBrock, hilarious. All these people that I just hoping would be nice word.
Right.
That makes experience. Like, why would you fly all the way to Detroit and sit behind a damn table for 10 hours a day and be a dick?
That's a good question. Absolutely. Jay Fosgate, our good friend, he got a Billy Piper photo op, but he took Bodhi Troll with him, Bodhi Troll puppet. So he got her. He was like, can you just hug Bodhi? And I'll kind of look away like I'm jealous sort of thing. And she grabbed Bodhi and like just like right here and just like right on her bosom and
that's
just like
awesome.
Ah! So he's got
it's
a picture,
great picture
of her like
yeah,
it's great. And she's like and apparently it was the only picture that she wanted to see after and see how it turned out.
That's awesome.
So you know she was like, this is awesome.
You know what's changed though from the years past? I was talking about it 5 years ago coming to this show. You could walk in with $200, $25 to get in. You'd buy some toys and books for your kids or whatever, and you'd get 5 autographs at $20 a piece and 5 pictures with the people that you were doing.
The good old days.
Now, I mean, it's $75 bill for a picture and an autograph.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
And that's at the low end.
And yeah, that's
a lot of these are 90. I mean,
these photo ops, it's amazing here, kids. Motor City Comic Con photo ops, like $40 to $70.
That's
I've
new.
Heard. And, you know, Fan Expo, you're paying hundreds.
Oh, easily.
You want
a
picture with Rooker at Fan Expo, you're paying $300 to $400, I bet you.
That's insane.
I bet you.
That's
I'll
insane.
Bet you.
I saw, what was it, Luke Skywalker at Mark Hamill at Star Wars Celebration was like $200 for a picture with him.
Wow, that's like reasonable.
That is surprising.
For him.
That's reasonable.
Well, I know. Stan Lee's usually $100.
But I'll pay $100 for Stan Lee. You know, he's done a lot of shit. Mark Hamill's done Star Wars.
Yeah, but you got to remember,
he's also Joker.
Yeah, he's also Joker.
He did a hell of a.
We're in a bad
episode.
He's also
Criminal Minds.
Hey,
right?
he's also the trickster. Okay.
Oh yeah, true.
Twice.
True.
So
true. Any host booking pop culture on Con TV?
Come on, Corvette Summer.
No.
That's what he was most known for.
Corvette Summer.
Yes.
No.
Take into account though, it's $200 to meet Mark Hamill at Star Wars Celebration. So he's like, he might not be huge.
He's
and he might be cheaper like here or somewhere else, but there, that's his. I mean, he's the guy there.
I understand. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, yeah. He's the guy.
Can we talk about real quick? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
Can we talk real quick how Jimmy totally choked on his chance to meet Amy Jo Johnson last night?
I
know you met her before.
Hey, she met her last night too.
Yeah, I know. I was there. And you, hi, this is my girl. She's pregnant. And
but how awesome was that to see Amy Jo Johnson do karaoke at the bar?
Oh yeah, that was pretty good. She remembered me from Philly last year.
You moderated her panel in Philly.
Yeah, I moderated her panel, and when I introduced myself, she was like, "Oh shit, hey, how are you?" And then I'm like, I was drunk at the time, so I was like, "Yeah, come meet my pregnant girlfriend."
No, he told me cockblock because she comes over like, "Hey, you did the IT and the D show Monday, thank you." Jimmy's like, "Look, my pregnant girlfriend, like Jimmy, what are you doing?" Like,
hey, I wanted to introduce her.
That's the thing, though. I gotta admit, you know, I sang karaoke with Jesus from Walking Dead. It's been a surreal weekend.
Yeah, dude.
Zach McGowan is probably the coolest dude I've ever met.
Awesome
in
times.
My life.
Yeah, awesome times, Zach McGowan. We hung out with him the first night, had a few bevies, and he's a fantastic conversation man. Totally good dude.
But like, to me, that's how you con. When you show up here, you know.
That's the good thing about Motor City, though. Motor City is set up in a way where I've seen celebrities drop their guards unlike any other show I've ever been to. There's something about this show that they feel safe amongst the lobby and the fans and the people. You know what I mean? It's because it's a weird setup. A lot of shows aren't so connected where the hotel and the lobby and the bar are such a part of the show. It's 24 hours. It's a 24-hour convention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you look at it, like...
Yeah, I got home at 5 a.m. last night.
I got home at like 4 something. It was ridiculous. But it's so nice to have that. C2E2 was a lot that way, too, right? When everything's conjoined, it's amazing. Yeah. And I'm not even staying in the hotel.
The hotel bar is the best of cons.
The one thing this year separates from the past years is there's no William Shatner, there's no Stan Lee, there's no Daryl from Walking Dead. Right. There isn't that, like, mega star.
Yeah,
Adam West... Like, but you have
Rooker's a pretty
Rooker. Yeah, but if you look at the amount of people they brought in, this is the most quality top to bottom, like, people that I've ever, like,
probably
seen
the best
in a long
lineup
time.
They've had. Yeah.
For me.
For
the show, yeah.
For probably the cost of what Stan Lee is to bring in, they probably were able to bring in four guests.
I would say eight.
It really helps out. You don't have that huge mega name, but you were able to get, like, four or five big names that people were going to come for. It's more diverse. You get a bigger audience.
Yeah. Well, Barbara Eden, I'm so happy to see. She's at a mega lineup all weekend. People still dream of Jeannie, man.
Oh, totally.
It's amazing.
She was at the restaurant eating right next to us, and James behind me, he's a veteran, Afghanistan War Marine, and someone sent him a drink saying, thank you for your service. Well, he looked around, and someone said, that table, and pointed at Barbara Eden's table. So James walks over, Jim walks over there, says, hey, did you guys buy me a drink? And the manager's like, no, get the hell out of here. She's like, walk back. Like, she, for 85 years old, she looks amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That plastic's holding up.
It's magic. Okay. She's a genie.
That's right. Okay, I'm going to take advantage here, because we're sitting here, we're at Motor City Comic Con, we're broadcasting live to Podcast Detroit. What was that?
I don't know.
Okay, sorry.
But oh, tuxedo mask.
I got confused for a minute there. I'm going to say it. I can't say it. They can hear us out there.
Yeah, they can hear us.
He's still sitting in front of us.
And if anybody who's an old listener to An Elegant Weapon for a long time, you know one of our tropes, one of our mantras at An Elegant Weapon. Fuck manga. So with that, we're alive. I'm going to take advantage of all you bastards out there because we're live. And you may not know my show because my show is a syndicated show on Podcast Detroit. I don't go live because I'm out in Toronto, beautiful land of Canada. And
Kanakistan?
That's right. So I'm just going to drop a quick little bit of knowledge. My show's out of Toronto. Star Wars comics. I talk to lots of people. It's conversational. We have a good time. An Elegant Weapon has been around for 5 years. We're in our fifth year of podcasting.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I've fallen behind, though, as we were saying before you got here, because this is episode 242. Mm-hmm. And last year we did episode 200, which means what, I missed 12 episodes? 10 episodes this year.
52 weeks in a year.
Yeah, sure. But I will blame that on the Points of Interest Podcast Network, which also these gentlemen are fine members of. There's a network I run out there, POYpodcast.com. Takes up some time sometime. And the six-year-olds, you know them kids, they get in the way. So I've done a lot of shows over the years, and we've had some good times. You guys, what are your favorite episodes of An Elegant Weapon?
The ones that I'm around.
The ones that you were on. Yes. That's right.
The Ray Park.
The episode 200 you did last year here. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Do you guys have any questions for me? Anything you don't know, you want to know about the early days? You want to hear some quirky facts? Does anyone know? Here's...
I want to talk more about pulling out eyeballs for Darth Vader. I'm like that whole the whole movie's bunk.
I'm trying to take advantage of this situation, Bob.
I want to
Jesus.
So, here you go. You got people out here that haven't listened,
right?
What is your favorite episode? Like, if someone was gonna, obviously, you want people to dive in from episode one, right? But like, if there was an episode to like convert people and bring them into your Jedi Order.
Well, here's the thing about my show. It's very, very niche, but there's two techniques to my show. Because most of the time, you're going to get where I have a guest and I have a conversation. And it's conversation with a comic creator or an artist or whoever, and we have an awesome conversation. Then there's the other side where I have my guerrilla tactics and I do live panel shows. So some of my episodes may be live panels from a con. So there's kind of favorites of those, and then there's favorites of the actual guests, and then there's favorites of... I think my favorites are you guys, when I'm just sitting around with you guys, and that's the most fun I have when I'm probably podcasting, shooting the shit with you guys. But then there's the whole other super exciting adventure of being on stage live, because I thrive in front of people, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's where I am happiest, is when I'm on a stage, and I'm having fun, and I'm having a great talk
with
someone.
You're performing at that point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, and that's my favorite. So ones like that really, really stick out. You know what I mean? Because when I started this show, it was me and another guy. I had a co-host for the first 70 episodes of this show. And it wasn't anything specific. But then it happened to come out when the new 52 did. So we just started talking comics all the time.
Right.
And it kind of went that way and became that way. Started going to Fan Expo, started interviewing creators, right? And he left at episode 70. I was like, what am I going to do? You know, it's just me
keep
now.
Going, yeah.
Right? So I just made it the me show. So now it's just me. Even sometimes when I'm talking to my guests, I'm talking about me.
That's all that matters.
But I don't care because I talk about whatever the hell, because fuck structure. You know what I mean? In my mind.
Right.
That's just my technique. But as I say, when it comes to podcasting, everyone has their own way.
There's as many ways to do it
even
as there
the shitty
are
ones
doing
deserve
it,
to be ways because it cannot be restricted. It has to be kept as wild and free and open as the old open ranges.
Pod hard, bro.
That's right. That's,
I mean, that's
happy
the
hairy
best
hard
thing
on,
about
man.
Podcasting.
Got to keep it going, keep it moving. All right, Bob. Let's talk about eyeballs popping out of heads.
It's true, though.
It is true.
Legend, did you ever see the fake fights? It was Batman versus Darth Vader.
Oh, the fan film?
Yes.
Is spectacular.
So,
and there's two versions,
so
they each win.
Right off the
version.
Bat, though, I'm like, there's no way Batman even gets a punch in. And boom, he throws an EMP, knocks out Vader's chest thingy, and I'm like, oh, it's on now.
Yeah. It was smart. It was really smartly done, man.
It was so good.
Yeah. I really enjoy those fan films. And some of these fan films nowadays are as good as any movies being.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the Darth Maul one that was made just like last year?
Yes.
That was insane.
Predator versus Wolverine.
Yeah.
That was good.
Predator versus Batman.
Okay.
Have you seen that one?
I don't think I went through all of them. Didn't
Where
stick
the
out
Joker,
me,
the guy who played the Joker in that, died recently. And I think it was Boner. Wasn't it Boner? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
There's a fan film, and there's a really good fan film, Batman versus Predator. And it's insanely good.
Really?
It's one of the
Boner
best
from
things
Growing
I've
Pains?
Ever seen.
Is it the superpower beatdown stuff?
Because he died. Didn't he kill himself, right? Boner?
I don't
Nobody's
know.
Nobody's feeling this. Anyways, he played Joker. The Joker in this fan film. And it was fucking the nuttiest Joker you've seen, man. And it was the most cartoonish, yet creepy good kind of. They did it really, really well, right?
Yeah.
And, there's one scene in this thing where it's a bird's eye. It's so brilliant. It's a bird's eye view of this dark alley, and it's raining, right? And you don't see anything. And there's a big puddle that the rain's falling in. I don't know how they shot this. Puddle's falling in the rain. You're looking down on it. All of a sudden, the water kind of starts to move in and rise. And you're like, what the fuck's going on? And then you realize it's Batman's cape, and he's starting to stand up because he was, leaning.
Oh, sweet.
And it comes, and it's the sickest Batman shot you've ever seen. This one, 5 seconds of this fan film beat anything I've seen in any Batman movie as far as,
cinematography.
Bringing the comic to life.
Yeah.
This was Frank Miller alive. And it's the craziest
it was very,
goddamn thing.
It's amazing. The fan films, though, what they're doing now, you look at that Dark Power Rangers fan film they put out.
Yeah.
I'll watch that any day of the week over what they put out, $100 million budget.
Right. Okay, well, let's mention that for a minute because we have, in fact...
You didn't mean it, Jimmy.
Are we... No, you... I believe the Ninja Starship podcast, number 9 pod... Power Rangers podcast on iTunes?
Number
for
one.
For a bit there? Has it... Shut up.
Number one.
Has it really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm not bragging or anything.
Yeah, no, it has? Yeah. That's fantastic.
Hold on.
Man.
I never told this story on this show, and I need to do it. So, we allowed... Dave and I camp out and we go to see Star Wars. It's our thing.
Right.
We allowed Jimmy to come with us for episode 7.
Okay.
No, it was Rogue One.
Was it Rogue?
Sorry.
And as we walk out, all you hear is Jimmy going, "That movie sucked." And we're like, "Let's at least talk about it." You know, and he's going on and on and on how it sucked. I'm like, "Fine. Jimmy, I just beg you. I beg you, all I ask in my life is for you to invite me to the Power Rangers the night of. Well, first night." And did my phone ring? No. Jimmy went not once, not twice, but five times. Five times. And did not call me once.
Right.
And all I wanted was to walk out of Power Rangers and scream at the top of my lungs, how much that movie sucked. And he took it from me. He took it from me, Jade. I'll never have that moment back.
I won't live that down because he brings it up constantly. So.
Well, here's the question. Here's my question about the Power Rangers movie. Because it seemed that a lot of fans liked it. So was there just not enough Power Ranger fans for a sequel, or did...
Didn't make enough money.
Yeah, it didn't make enough money.
How did it not make enough money if the community did like it?
Well, the fandom, most of the fandom responded to it, but Power Rangers is one of those fandoms that's very weird, it's very divided. It's not a unified fandom in any way, shape, or form. There is this, we love Mighty Morphin, and then there's we love everything else type people. It's very, very separated. And with any kind of with this new movie coming out, there was so much hate from the fandom that this movie was just going to suck. It was going to be horrible. Everything looks like shit, blah, 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 blah. The costumes are bad. Then it comes out, and everyone's like, oh, my God, this movie is awesome. Everything was great. We love what they did. Right. But because there was so much, and not just that, it was just how they released it. You know, there was such a span of time between the U.S. release and the Chinese release that anybody in China that already wanted to see that movie saw it already. Right, you know what I mean?
Right,
so
right.
It didn't. I mean, it only made $1.2 million the first day opening in China. That didn't help out at all.
Yeah,
the movie is only projected to make about $150 million after it's out of theaters completely.
That's not
and it only
money.
Took $100 million budget.
More,
no, it was $100 million budget. Yeah,
is that all? Eh?
That's all.
Wow.
And everybody, like, I made that video the other day because everybody is showing around these articles saying, oh, there's going to be a sequel because Saban confirms the plan that there's going to be a sequel. Like we discussed. I can confirm lots of plans. Yeah. I had a plan to make my bed this morning, but that shit didn't happen. You know what I mean?
Right. There's a plan to make a Flash movie for years. I'm still waiting on that shit.
And it's non-Power Ranger families. Like, they didn't know if they could take the movie or not. Movie's a bit mature, but they're also open to get up against Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast. Oh, and
that's Guardians of the Galaxy the next weekend.
That's not like Guardians. It was Beauty and the Beast, Logan, and something else all opened that same the same month. So
that's
a
tough fight.
It was kind of buried in the shuffle, which is bad. Like a movie like Power Rangers needed to open up in a month where there was a dead cinema week.
Yeah,
Jimmy, let me ask you a question. What's your take on fandom? Because it's interesting. If you look at the things that have the most rabid fans, are the people that hate the product the most?
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Professional
like
wrestling,
Star Wars,
right? You have like the people that are just they consume this product. It's consumed to them,
yeah,
and they hate it more than anything. And I don't get it. No one acts like that about football, baseball, right? But if you and they, nobody acts like this over movies, but movie franchises they do
absolutely,
right?
I think people do that. Think about like same old lions.
But that's true.
Yeah, but the prequels were not as good as the original trilogy. I feel like that's also true.
Yeah, that's definitely
true. No, I think it becomes trendy to hate.
You know what I want people to do, though?
100% it does.
Here's what I want people to do, though, because a lot of people forget this, okay? And as much as people... Well, actually, okay, let's talk about the re-releases in 96, right? When he re-released and fixed up and cleaned up the original movies and put them out... And it was very successful. It was huge enough to make him do the prequels. That's why he did the prequels, because those did well. Excuse me. So, where was I going with this? Jesus Christ.
The three original movies.
Oh, yes.
Marijuana is a hell of a drug.
So if you get a chance to go watch the original ones uncut again... They're really, really shitty. Like, you know, there was some groundbreaking stuff as far as the space and the model work and the creature work. And that was, yes, at the time, it was the most groundbreaking shit. But if you watch it again now, half those puppets don't really move.
Yep.
There's mistakes. There's sets.
It's like watching... Oh,
yeah. You know, it was the story that got it through. It's always been about the story. And... It wasn't even sure. The first one was a huge success, but it wasn't until Vader's line that cemented it as, okay, this is a thing that's going to continue and probably never end. So this is going to be interesting. With the prequels, there's some groundbreaking shit in there. There's some shit that was done in those movies that, you know, was the technology was invented for those movies that has now become standard on other shit.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when I was watching Phantom Menace, and when the Gungans are about to fight the droid army,
yeah,
and the big droid carriers come out, and they come out, and they start coming out and opening just
and all
racks
the droids of racks. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember specifically sitting there thinking, how the hell does he think this shit up?
Right.
And we're just used to it now because we've been given time, right? Yeah. So.
And that the leader of the Gungans was Hawkman from Flash Gordon, which I completely. Which was my favorite part.
Yeah. So, you know, it's all different. Time changes perspective, is my point.
Yeah.
To a point where now there's mad prequel nostalgia. Anakin Skywalker, Hayden Christensen coming back to Star Wars Celebration after 15 years.
Right.
40th anniversary and facing that shit after what he fucking went through,
mm-hmm.
good on him. And his reception was huge. People were so happy he was there. So, you know, I think it'll be same thing with anything that's going to be new. It'll be old,
it's like anything, though, when you have fans that you let them give input, whether or not you either acknowledge it or you ignore it.
Yeah.
But you cannot let fans, if you have a vision, you cannot let fans shape your product. And what we've heard over the Star Wars franchise,
you can a little,
is he let the studio shape his product on Return of the Jedi, and then he let the fans shape his product in Episode 2. Because there was so much hate on Binks that you knew he wrote him out of a lot of crap in 2.
Probably. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it influenced it. Absolutely. You know? I don't think 2 was... again, I'm not just going to get into sitting here defending the fucking prequels, but I got to see a Jedi army. I was pretty happy about that. You know what I mean?
They were good.
I liked 2 and 3.
3 was the best of the prequels, although I really liked Phantom Menace.
Here's the thing.
Parts of it were bad, but it was beautiful.
The Darth Maul fight scene was some of the... That was
still the best fight in all Star Wars.
No question.
You know, people think I'm crazy because of the Revenge of the Sith fight being so epic, but no. The simplicity, the lack of... the thing about Phantom Menace was it was an updated lightsaber fight, but it wasn't like Episode 2 and 3 where there was too much light clashing and flashing and like lens flare. It was clean. You could see every connect that Darth Maul was making, you know? I love that shit. That was beautiful.
Well, and even if you don't like them, you have to admit that there's enough things in the prequels that are epic. Like Obi-Wan's... Ewan McGregor's portrayal of young Obi-Wan.
That is epic.
It's stellar from the first movie to the third one, and it gets better as he goes.
Oh, I hope they make the movie. I hope they make the Obi-Wan movie.
He's ready and willing to do it, too.
And it's really interesting how they won't let them do it now.
When do they want to do the timeline? Do you know?
As Luke's young.
Yeah, it's got to be... It's gotta be
so picking up from... the cartoon. You
know, pretty much. But here's the thing is they won't let them do it because they've told them that they're not done with him yet. So Obi-Wan will in some way probably be involved in 8 or 9 somehow.
Yeah, because he's Rey's parents.
Don't be ridiculous. I think he may reappear to Luke. And I think they might olden up Ewan in, you know, a little bit. And, you know, or... Who knows? Maybe they'll youngin with their digital technology. They'll make, they'll bring back Alec Guinness as a Force Ghost. It'd be easier to do it than trying to make them look like a real person, right?
I would agree, yeah.
Yeah, you could animate a Force Ghost, make it have it anybody you want, you know? It's crazy. Look at Disney. Here goes Disney. I'm running out of steam. How's that, kids? Is that fun?
Phenomenal.
Thank you, Gone.
You're phenomenal.
It's always good.
Hey, kids out there in Detroit land, check out anelegantweapon.ca. And it's fun times, I promise.
What does that
CA Star Wars
stand for?
Comics, cannabis. CA stands for Canada, bitches. So I'm very, very proud to be the Canadian corner of Podcast Detroit. I cannot thank Dave and Bob enough for providing me with this platform, yet another wonderful place to listen to an Elegant Weapon, kids. So check it out and all the other fine shows, Top Rope Review, The Ninja Starship, IT and the D, guys, thank you. I don't know if I should end it, because there's no one here to hit stop. Do we have to keep talking until Dave gets back? Are we forced? Are we being forcibly potted right now?
No, I can hit stop on it.
Do you know how to hit stop? Come on over
here.
Yeah,
he runs the board for Top Rope.
Will's a super dope producer.
Again, coming live from Motor City Comic Con 2017. Yeah. Thank you to the staff, the management, press, everybody. Miriam, Dabowski, you're awesome. That's it. That's all we're going to have this week on Elegant Weapon, kids. Take it easy.
That's good, thank you.
That was thank you.